Iron City beer. Iron City beer.
All kids love log.
Tis the podcast log.
Yes, log.
Of the Star Wars Collector's Archive blog.
Yes, log.
Whenever the Star Wars Collector's Archive publishes a new blog, this podcast will log its contents, interview its writers, and go deeper, deeper. It's the Kivecast Blog Log Pod.
You, sir, are a mouthful.
Relax and just take life easy for a little while. Because it's only lasts for a little while.
All right, Steve. Well, no fancy intros here. We're just going to be talking to Bill Cable about his amazing find. You know, last month we talked a lot about Weequay and all about like Moby Dick and stuff. And this is like his white whale, the thing he was trying to find. And he finally found it. Actually, that doesn't work because they never actually get the whale.
Right. He gets away.
Well, actually, we'll talk about, there is a real white whale that that Bill's been chasing for years. We'll talk about that soon. So yeah. The only piece of business, Steve, is do we rename our episodes? Do we consider blog log pods to just be Kivecast episodes? Because we put in about the same amount of work. They're just shorter. What's your vote, Steve?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we definitely put in the same amount of work, but I kind of like this idea of this little mini spinoff. I think they're part of our umbrella, but I think they could be their own little thing.
All right, fine. I'm just in a hurry to get to high numbers, so when people talk to me, I can impress them. Because it's like, how many episodes have you done? 89 plus 7, plus if you count, we did two different ones of 71, and then actually the After Dark episode. Okay, fine.
See, you just have to throw out a general ballpark number. Yeah. I think you're good. Yeah.
Well, anyways, this is Blog Log 7.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. So why don't we get Bill S. Preston Cable Esquire on the blower and talk about the old man in the sea? What kind of naval? Okay, we'll just
He calls it the Golden Grail. With that.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk to Bill about the Golden Grail. And I'm going to open up a window because it's all of a sudden hot in Rochester.
Hey, Kool-Aid and frozen pizza. It's a work of art, I ain't cock a Mona Lisa. Dream of rockin' crowd, see me filling up arenas. This weed got me laughing like...
All right, Steve, we are joined here by Bill Cable. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes, you are. You are having quite the week. Before we talk about why we have you on here, I think we need to give you a little bit of grief. I don't know. Well, first of all, I want you to know, you know, you're a big hockey fan, Bill, and I'm missing the Bruins game right now to record this. And Steve, do you know what player the Bruins are playing against?
Gosh, I don't know. Haven't been following. What's going on?
They're playing against the official hockey player of the Kivecast, none other than Victor Hedman.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Turns out he's really good, and he's been playing for a very long time.
And that bodes well for us then, right?
Yeah, but not for the Bruins. But we have Bill Cable on here. And so, you know, I mentioned before that I was going off to a conference in Pittsburgh. And,
right, yeah.
And I went and I met with Bill. And one of the things that I do with Bill is that I joke with him about the fact that he doesn't listen to the podcast. Is that true, Bill?
That is accurate.
Yes, and it's funny because he's never listened to it. He's always said it's too long. Even after a podcast came out that's three times as long as ours, it's still too long. So hopefully, Steve, we're going to get him to listen to this podcast. Do you think we can do it?
I think that's the bar we have to set here. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know why it doesn't bother me, Bill? It's because you've run this website, Creature Cantina, for what, 20 years now?
I don't think it's quite that long. It was 2001.
Okay, so close enough. You know, in between 15 and 20 years, and you've done cartoons, and you've done blog posts and write ups, and I would say you've contributed as much to the hobby as just about anybody. And you pretty consistently get very little feedback relative to the amount of work you put into it. So it doesn't bother me because you know the pain of like doing this great thing for the hobby and having people be like, what? Yeah, I know, I didn't read that. Like, what?
My audience is probably myself and my other two writers. So.
Right. And you're talking to my audience, which is Steve.
Yeah, that's it.
and Bruce White. He's the only other person that I think of whenever recording this episode, these episodes. Okay, but
actually,
anyways, yeah, what's
one,
that?
One of my good buddies listens to you all the time, and he always talks about, oh, hey, did you see they mentioned you on the Chivecast? And I was like, no, I don't listen to Chivecast. But he always points it up whenever my name is mentioned. So he's a pretty dedicated listener.
All right, well, in that case, we call him a space freak. And he is the official space freak of Pittsburgh then. Cool. Well, anyways, this, in theory, Bill, these are supposed to be our short episodes.
Right.
But I had to give at least 5 minutes to give you grief. But the other reason I wanted to give you grief, Bill, was you made what is probably the most exciting find a focus collector can find. And you didn't tell me about it when I was actually in your house while the deal was being done. I should probably tell you, Steve, you know, I've been to a lot of collections. You know, I've seen Gus's place and Ron's place and Yehuda's place and the most amazing collections in the world. But Bill's collection is the closest to what I'm trying to do with Chewbacca.
I know. So, yeah. So it's funny.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like you went to see him while you were there for a conference, and I did the same thing just like last fall. So it's like, yeah, it's just funny to see that kind of repeat itself.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's not the best collection I've seen. No offense, Bill, but you know Gus's is a little bit better. But,
just a bit.
But it was exactly what I want. Like, if you are a focus collector, especially of a original 12 character,
yeah,
that's just how you want it to be. And I hesitate to say that because I've seen Bill McBride's collection with Vader, but there's something about Bill's McBride's collection which is maybe a little bit overwhelming or something, like with the addition of the props and then this and then that. Whereas, I don't know, Bill's is like, I can aspire to Bill's collection. I don't think I can aspire to McBride's Vader collection. So that was my sense, was I was there, I was seeing his collection for the first time. I was absolutely in awe. And a friend of the show, an occasional personal enemy, Ross Barr. I'm just kidding, obviously, but I had to say that because we haven't fought in a couple of months. We were both there together, and I gave him a bunch of stuff to grade, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Playmobil.
Awesome.
Yes, very awesome. And we're both there, and what do we look at over and over again, Bill? What was the thing we were most interested in?
It was the Peruvian Basa ESD-45 card back that I own.
Yes. So what exactly is a Peruvian Basa 45 card back?
Okay, Basa was the toy distributor for Star Wars in the early 80s for the country of Peru. And they only had a teeny tiny selection of toys that they imported into Peru to sell at whatever toy shops they had down there. And finding anything Basa is just ridiculously rare. There's a couple guys, native Peruvians, who have just a handful of things in their own collections. So what's really unique about the Basa figure is that's the only place that a C-3PO with removable limbs on the debut ESB-45 card back has ever shown up.
Okay. And so let's slow that again down then, Steve, for dummies like me. So what is he talking about, Steve? Removable what? 3PO who?
Well, you know, I think we talked a little bit about it back on the 75th episode. It was that episode where we had the removable limbs 3PO and the sensor scope R2. It's kind of like a retread on those two characters because they were getting new looks and new card backs. And
right.
So those two droids, along with four new figures, the Luke Hoth, AT-AT Commander, Cloud Car Pilot, and then the Black Bespin Guard, they came out on the 45 back. But the 3PO, that's a little bit of a mystery here, and that's what this is all about.
Right. So never has there been an American 45-back C-3PO. So, I mean, how can it even be a debut card if you've never even seen a version of it? Why was it even called a debut card, Bill?
Well, the figure is pictured on the back of the 45-back.
Right.
It just never appeared with the on the actual card back itself.
Right.
So it was part of the wave that came out, or was supposed to come out, with all the other 45s.
Okay, so this is the 45A back. I actually have my copy of Kellerman here. And Kellerman has the matrix of carded figure front-back combinations. Mm-hmm. And if you look up it's a 45A, all right? So that's his ESB 45A. If you look for C-3PO, it is not known to exist, and it's not, probably does not exist. It is just the empty blank square that reads possibly exists. So this Peruvian card back was the only evidence that there was ever a carded Kenner 45 back C-3PO. Is that right, Bill?
That is correct. Everything about the card is Kenner standard. The only difference was it had a little Bossa sticker in the upper left corner.
Right. And so, I mean, how long have you been collecting C-3PO?
Since 98, 99.
Okay. Man. So, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know this is going to end up with him getting this figure. But take us through a little bit of your history of trying to find this figure. Because what happened was, Steve, I went to go visit Bill, okay? And Ross and I are looking at this Peruvian card back and forth. I put forth one of my famous, I don't think that any toys were ever sold in South America.
Why does that not surprise me?
Conspiracy theories. And Bill is a little bit weird. Like you were a little bit janky, I would say, Bill, when we were talking about that. Because we were sort of like, this is weird. And you were giving off this vibe. And then, like, 2 days later, Bill sends me a text with a picture of the eBay auction that he had won. And so why didn't you tell me then, Bill?
I was so filled with anxiety about this auction. I mean, my biggest fear was that somebody would stumble upon it and then post it up on one of the major Facebook groups and say, "Hey, has anybody seen this before?" And then the price would skyrocket to five figures and I'd have no chance at it. So okay. Building up until your visit, I was monitoring Facebook and monitoring the auction price, and I was just in disbelief that it had not been outed by anybody.
Yeah.
So whenever you guys were visiting, it was a really intense internal struggle because I really wanted to share with you guys. But then I was thinking to myself, let's say I share it, and then a day after you guys are gone, somebody posts it on Facebook.
Right.
Then I'm going to be thinking to myself, did either of those two guys leak? Do I have to hunt them down and kill them? And I didn't want to put myself through that grief of possibly being the reason why it got outed, even if the reason was telling two guys I trust pretty well.
Right, because you would have absolutely hated us forever. And the other funny thing, Steve, is while we were there, we were talking to Bill about the state that you're in with the collection. Because, I mean, if you can imagine, if you're imagining what his collection looks like, he doesn't just have every card front. He has every card front, every card back. So 12A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, X. And so, It stands to reason whatever he doesn't have has got to be really rare.
Right.
Or it's something he didn't get before 2012. And this is the other thing. You know, Bill's been collecting for 20 years, so it's hard for people who've been collecting for 20 years to pay the prices that things are worth.
Yeah.
And so I just kept on saying, like, well, come on. I mean, if something really cool popped up that you don't have, like a Toll Toys, right? I was like, I mean, you'd sell, and he has also basically a complete run of Kenner carded, and except Trilogo instead of Return of the Jedi, no Maydeen. I was like, you could just sell a couple of these things and do it. And he sort of looked at me like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. And you were actually thinking about that at that time. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was going, like, originally I thought if this gets outed and price goes really high, there's just no way I can afford it. Then I started thinking to myself, well, I do have this wall full of carded Empire Strikes Back figures that I've had forever, and if they just vanished, I could easily start rebuilding them over time, and I'd eventually get the set back together. So it's like I had this money sitting on my wall that for a once-in-a-generation type find, I figured, hey, I'm going to go all out on this, and I can just sell whatever I need to sell to cover it, and then build back up the collection over time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's 1998, and you decide to start collecting C-3PO. And at this point, there is no known examples of an American 45-back C-3PO, and you start collecting. When did you become – because I think it'd be interesting for our listeners, most of whom have started collecting in the last decade or so, to know, like, what is, like, the transmission of information? Like, when did you even realize it was rare? When did you start looking for it? Did you ever give up looking for it?
Yeah, well, whenever I started out, I decided on C-3PO as my character focus, inspired by Chris Fawcett and Dan Flaherty and John Wooten, who were Ohio guys that I got to know really well whenever I lived out there. So, and it was actually a toss-up between either C-3PO or Lando, and ended up going with C-3PO. So, all those guys were big-time, getting every single card back was their focus at the time as well. So that was kind of my inspiration for, hey, I can do the same thing for C-3PO. And so I started just picking up ones whenever I saw them on eBay, whatever one I didn't have before, I would pick up. And the 45-back was one of the more interesting offers, I thought. And it's the, it's the debut card back for C-3PO removal limbs. So that was one that was really on my radar. But then I started talking to people on the Bounty Hunter Collective Forum and Usenet and early Rebel Scum forums, and said, hey, I'm looking for this piece. And at the time, one of the big collecting focuses was getting every character on their debut card back. Mm-hmm. So there was a real core, hardcore group of guys who got every 12 back on 12A and every 20 back on 20A if they could, or 20B. Then just whatever the debut card was, that's what they picked up for their entire collection.
Right, and I think this is so kind of guys, this is kind of like a holdover from a lot of us grew up collecting baseball cards, and I think it's kind of rookie card mentality, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. So I was talking to these guys, and they were like, "Well, you're out of luck on the 45 back; that just doesn't exist." And they knew that because they had dedicated 5 years or whatever trying to uncover one and had no evidence whatsoever that there was one out there.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it really is amazing to think the amount of time and energy that people have put in to finding this since this hobby really began, however many, 25 years ago. I guess, boy, Steve, we should figure out when did the vintage hobby start. That'd be interesting. but, yeah, that it just... Back in 98, they said it didn't exist, and 2018 is when we have our first evidence. Now, did you keep looking? Did you ever give up?
I never really, like, at a certain point, I just realized it wasn't out there, so I wasn't actively looking for it. But I do eBay searches every day for everything C-3PO. Yeah. So
wait, you
that's
do?
That's how I chanced to... Yes, I do. You believe it or not.
20 years on, you look up C-3PO every single day on eBay.
Well, not on weekends.
Okay, no, but still, my God, Bill, no wonder you have such a better collection than mine. That's unbelievable. I mean, I'll do that maybe once a week, but boy, I mean, that's some honeymoon stuff right there. I mean, Wow, that's real dedication. So I mean, it's not even like, I mean, you would know if these things were out there because you were really looking. Because there's some Chewbacca things, and people will send me, "Oh, did you know about this?" And I just missed it because I didn't look or whatever. I mean, whatever. I look at least once a week. I'm not a monster. but wow, so looking on average, whatever it is, more than 200 times a year by 18 years. You know, we're talking in the thousands of searches plus Facebook. Plus Rebel Scum forums, plus celebrations, plus being known yeah. as the C-3PO guy for at yeah. least 15 years. You know, he's been known as the guy who would get contacted. Because when I talked to you, Bill, when I first met you, you didn't talk to me at all about the 45 back. You were only talking about what Steve and I have decided is the true white whale, which is the Anakin, the Anakin offer C-3PO.
The Anakin, yeah, that's right.
That was the first thing I yep. knew about you. So why was it that that's what you were talking to me about all the way back in 2005?
Well, by that point with my collection, I had everything that I knew existed, and the Anakin sticker was the one that could potentially exist, but I had not seen an example of yet. And there's still, I mean, it would make sense for it to exist, and I hope it exists, and I still search for it all the time. It's my top thing I'm looking for. But yeah, that's it.
Now, here's an interesting question. I think you know where I'm going with this, Steve. If you had to choose between finding the Anakin and finding the 45, which one would you choose to find?
Oh, man. I got to say the Anakin. Because wow. I own 245 proofs. I own the 45 Bossa card back.
Yeah.
And don't own anything at all with the Anakin sticker on it.
Wow. You see, that's the mind of a focused collector, Steve.
It is. Absolutely.
Because it's, you could tell he's thinking about his collection room and he's thinking about the way the things all line up.
Yep.
And it's like, no Anakin offer. There's, God, there's... it's just not complete.
It so, could exist.
So then you have more than one 45 back proof?
Yeah, I have. I got them both at the Steve Denny sale at Celebration 2. One is the square corner, the other is the round corner.
Ah, okay.
Wow, so the round corner is presumably one of a kind, and the square corner is the more common one. Now, this I've been doing a little bit of research, and another thing that I want to talk about is just sort of old internet sites. So Creature Cantina is a great example. That's Bill's site, and he's been running it for, as we've said, whatever, 18 years. And he's kept it going. He's never given up. And you know, I also want to later talk about my site, The Chewseum, which I have given up. I just pay every year to keep it up there. and there's actually a lot of really good stuff on. I was looking at it today. I'm like, damn, that was – I used to do good stuff. But then, of course, there's Rebel Scum. And – we talk a lot about how great the Rebel Scum forums were, but I don't think we actually really help people out that much in terms of saying exactly how. And I think one of the most useful things, and this is going to sound really egotistical because I started it, but one of the most useful things are relative rarity.
Yeah.
So what you do is if you want to know what the Star Wars collectors' thoughts were back in 2006, okay? So already the hobby was nice and mature with a lot of work being done. I started with 12. I was really shy. It was like one of the first threads I ever started. I didn't think that I had enough like legitimacy to start threads. I was really scared back then. So I started the 12 back A relative rarity, but then I stopped after maybe 20 because I was afraid that people were getting tired of me. I realize saying that now that that's painfully ironic. And then Jason West picked up the mantle and kept going. But it's – and if you look up the 45 back relative rarity scale, Bill's post is the second post. It's April 11th, 2006. And he just goes – so far, no known U.S. examples of 3PO removal limbs exist. just boom, right off the bat. Later in the thread, Adam Benefield, one of my famous roommates at Celebration who's destined to leave the hobby. I had like four of them. He said that one was now known of, but he didn't go into detail. Did you ever track him down with that, Bill?
I did not. I don't know where he would have heard that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he was a monster. I mean, he's. We got to get him on the show sometime, Steve, because he had the most complete list of available figures I've ever seen. He was a really unassuming guy.
Yeah, I was really bummed. I never really got to meet him or get to know him. But I definitely remember that name and how much knowledge he was always posting and kind of just providing all the time.
Right. And the nice thing here is, you know, there's like lists that are done here. And if you want to know, if you want to put together a 45 back run, you know, you can just go right here. And it says for the Star Wars characters, common, the most common ones, according to the people, the consensus here is Luke, Leia, Han, Jawa. But I mean, all of them are kind of rare, like for Star Wars figures on the 45 back. But the ones that are more rare are Luke X-Wing, Walrus Man, Hammerhead, Tusken Raider, Ben Kenobi, Stormtrooper, and Chewbacca. And something that I mentioned on Chewseum is that was the last card back I ever got for my American run. It took me a long time to find a Chewbacca. Huh. Okay. So I don't know. These 45 back things are really tricky. And then on here is a whole list of the common, very common, uncommon, and rare. And what's weird is that like some of the common ones are the debut card backs, right? What are they again? It's the Cloud Car Pilot, Bespin Guard,
Hoth Luke. Yep.
Yeah. So those three are the most common for 45 backs. And then C-3PO. What is the deal here?
It's a mystery. I mean, you'd think that with this brand new figure, they would have flooded the market with it, but for some reason, the 3PO just didn't really make it out on that card back.
And we didn't have the same thing with the sensor scope. There was no...
There was plenty of those, right? So
Yeah, it's not that uncommon.
And yet there's proofs. And another Rebel Scum forum, just someone asked, was there removable limbs on a 45 back? There's a whole thread about this from 2004. You, once again, back in 2004, Bill, there are no known examples. The closest thing we know of is this example from Peru. So your story is very consistent. in your words, I ended up settling for a proof card. Thankfully, it's one of the easier proof cards to find, and they ask you, what is it worth? And you said, somewhere between $100 and $150 for the proof card. And then you said, unless you are lucky to get one at the Celebration 2 sale with a smiley face. So how much did you pay for your proof card at the room sale, Bill?
I purchased three C-3PO proofs there, the 245s and an offerless 48-back, and I paid $20 a piece for them.
Man. So yeah,
and before you told me today, I had no idea that the round corner ones were one-offs.
Well, it's weird because they're sort of like, so I once had two different one-off 45 back Chewbaccas. So I had one with a punch and one without, but in general, the rounded corner proofs are one-offs.
Wow.
I think, I mean, unless my trademark is stupidity, which it is. Now, yeah. You don't know that, Bill, because you don't listen to the show, but you see. one of the dynamics of the show, Bill, is that I am just amazingly stupid and I don't know anything. And then Mr. T calls me stupid.
Your trademark is stupidity.
You're missing a lot, Bill, when you don't listen to the show. That's kind of a fun trip, sort of back through the Rebel Scum view of this question. On the Chewseum, I was reading my write-ups, and it really is a precursor to the show, Steve, because the amount the amount of detail that I go into that nobody cares about is just astounding. but what I put together was just a run of Chewbacca 45 backs. I had a couple proofs, and I had the British one, and
this is your double proof with the Bespin guard too, right?
Yes, and we're going to talk about that soon because it ties into Bill's piece.
Yeah, right.
And we are eventually going to talk about what you bought, Bill. But I'm enjoying these little. Are you enjoying these side paths, Steve? What are you thinking?
I am. I hope Bill is.
Okay. Well, we don't care about Bill. He's not a listener, Steve. We don't have to make Bill happy.
Respect the guest. Are we going to get to Bill's discovery here?
Yes. Or
do you still have another stepping stone in mind? Okay.
Oh, sick burn. I got to get it from you, too.
See, this is you take things from me as insults when they're really not. all right, so we're back to the 3PO 45 back. We know we got the offer kind of identified, right? So it's this auction happened what? Early April, right, Bill?
Yes. April 9th, I believe.
Okay. And should we hear a little bit about how his anxiety fluctuated over this time, Sky? What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good because Bill. I mean, we're going to. It's weird because Bill's never actually contributed directly to the archive because he does everything for creaturecantina.com. And
I got stuff up in the archive.
No, you have stuff, but I mean, you haven't written anything for the archive, right?
I've never written anything. Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, he has items that are on the archive, but he's never actually like written something up. So. He's going to sort of, or Steve's probably going to cobble something together for this blog log pod, a little sort of write up to put on the archive so that the story's not just in on Bill's site, because there is something I think really instructive about the nature. Like when we talk about this hobby being a hobby of patience, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is absolutely it. It's checking eBay every day for 20 years until you find it. So he's going to write it up. But on creaturecantina.com, you will see a lot more about it because Bill has just, it's been awesome. And what I love is the excitement. It's just like, I mean, it's like he just started collecting. It's like he's one of these noobs who's like, why is he a yellow lightsaber? He didn't, you know? So tell us, so he describes his emotions. So what are the emotions you felt in these times?
Well, my first emotion was disbelief.
Yeah.
I saw the auction early in the morning, during my Monday morning check, and I questioned reality for a good 10 minutes. I like have a list of proof cards and stuff, and I went and like, is the 45 back the one I have? Yeah, that is the one I have. And is the 45 back the one I was looking for all that time? Yeah, it actually is the one I was looking for all that time. So I after questioning my reality for a good 10 minutes, then it was just shock that it actually existed. Appreciation for what a historical moment it was, that something that was thought not to exist just pops up there. And then after that, it was the abject fear that a lot of other people are going to see this and it's going to get way more expensive than I'd like to pay for it.
Right. So so you question reality, and I like that amount. I like that idea that you could just sort of wake up and it was, some kind of turn in your thinking to where you've been looking for it for 20 years. And then you started to wonder like, wait, do I actually have that? Okay. And so then what, Ross and I come over and you're just like, you're quiet or, like how does it kind of evolve over the day? I mean, what you've posted about this. So what was your max bid in mind?
Initially I thought I'd go 4,400, which was respectable, I thought, but not great. And after considering that for a day and then thinking about how I could sell, I have lots of stuff I could sell to raise money if I needed to, and checking with my wife that she wouldn't freak out that we had to temporarily pay a lot of money for something like that. I settled on $6,687.71.
$6,687. Okay, so that was your absolute upper limit. Now, I wonder, Bill, if people saw this, because it seems as though people really just didn't see it. Do you think you would have won it?
Well, I actually left myself some wiggle room. I was like, well, if somebody outbids that, I have enough time on the clock to drop down a little bit more than that, but I probably wouldn't have gone more than like $8,000. And for $8,000, if somebody who really wanted this wanted it, I don't think that would have won it.
Right.
And there was a guy who replied to my thread on Facebook and said if he had seen it, he'd have bid $10,000 on it.
Wow. Wow.
So that was what you were ready for. And what was it actually like the day of? I mean, are you just walking around and nervous and walking into walls? Are you trying to explain this? I got to meet most of your family, and they're very friendly and accommodating people, but they didn't seem to be super into the Star Wars stuff. So did they not quite understand what you were going through? Did you try to explain it?
I didn't want to stress them out with my stress, so I kind of...
bottled it up.
Dealt with it internally. I mean, the worst day was the first night after I saw it because I just could not get to sleep.
Yeah.
I'd be like starting to drift off, and all of a sudden I would remember there's this auction, and my heart would start racing, and I would jump up out of bed, and it was like a panic attack every 10 or 15 minutes while I was trying to fall asleep. That's how intensely it affected me at that time. After the second or third day, I kind of worked into it. The Penguins playoff series started, so that was a distraction for me. And then you guys came over, which was another distraction. So I had a lot of stuff going on to break my mind off of it from time to time. Snipe Bay itself, I think there was a Penguin game before that, which I watched, that took a good 3 hours of the time I had to wait until the auction ended.
Well, you know what then, you're like, Bill, for other Focus collectors? You're like the annoying, like when you're married and you have a friend who's like an annoyingly good husband who's been like married longer than you, but like is way more romantic and more loving. It's like, yeah, you know, I thought about picking her something up on the way home, but instead I just came home a little bit early and cooked her up some dinner, and I picked some flowers from the garden. And anyways, I just figured, you know, she should really have something, you know, for herself. And you're just like, you son of a bitch. I got McDonald's and ate it by myself on the way home. Like there's been things like this, especially the French stuff that I've gotten the last couple of years where I've just, and that display that I got, I mean, there's been several things for Chewbacca that I've been this excited about, but I don't know about waking up in the middle of the night being like, oh, it's still there. It's still there.
You have no idea how many times I refreshed that eBay auction over the course of 10 days. Well, it was constantly up on my screen.
You should count it. If the Anakin comes up, you should like count each time that you refresh it.
Get one of those little hand counters that they use at stadiums and just pick it every time.
Yeah.
Okay, so then here's the big question, because you know many people listening to this aren't going to read anything, just because some people just like listening to stuff. So you had a maximum bid of 6666, and instead of $7,000, what did you win it for?
I won it for $255.
Whew. Wow.
Now that is just, see, that's wrong.
I know.
Because either you win it for like $20 or you win it for $6,000, but you don't win it for $255. Like, okay. first of all, why, like, who bid 200? Who would bid this much on some? I just don't get it. So what's your thought about who the other people were bidding?
If you read through my journal, I was thinking, hey, these guys all got really high feedback. They must know what they're bidding on. They're biding their time to the last minute, and they're going to snipe hard, and I'm going to have real competition. But after the bidding, the only other guy bid 250. He was one of the original other four bidders, me included. And my guess is he just thought it looked like a pretty nice Empire Strikes Back carded 3PO. That's kind of the going rate for what they go for now. So nobody else who bid on it had any appreciation for what this was.
That's amazing. Was there something about the search terms that people wouldn't have found? Because if there's all these people trying to find debut card backs, or is it just that no one's looking because they don't think it exists?
It was actually listed as a Return of the Jedi C-3PO.
Ooh.
And the first thing I did whenever I saw the auction was ping the guy and say, is this the actual, are the photos in the auction the actual thing you're selling? Because you said it's Return of the Jedi and that's not, that's actually an Empire Strikes Back figure. He's like, oh, yeah, that's the exact item and I'll correct the auction title later. But he never did.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I was trying to make sure it was legit, but also kind of the Good Samaritan, which was idiotic, but it ended up working out for me.
Well, the karma paid off, so
yeah,
exactly.
And so the other thing about this is that it has a big black X on the bubble.
Yes, it does.
So this adds to the mystery of this figure. And where did it come from, Bill? Did it come from? Wait, quick, Steve. Do you know where the display arena offer where you had to send away to get it?
No, not off the top of my head. No,
Monticello.
The mail-in address.
Yep, Monticello, Minnesota.
Ah, okay. I figured Minnesota, but yes. Didn't
and,
know.
And
the
do
city.
You know the deadline, Steve?
I think I do know the deadline. Was it May 31st of 82?
I believe it was July 31st of 82.
Wait, no, there's two. I think that they extended it to July. That I remember looking up.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's right, because there's a sticker. Hey, yes. Bill, do you have one with the sticker extension offer, too?
I'm still looking for that one.
Okay, well, it shouldn't be too hard. So where did it come from, Bill?
It showed up in Hong Kong. Which is the factory that produced it is in Hong Kong.
So weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my thought is that it just never left Hong Kong. That it leaked out of the factory somehow. Maybe there was a factory store. Maybe one of the workers just grabbed it and sat in a drawer for whatever 30 odd years.
Well, you know what the X could mean? The X could be that it was just given to people in Hong Kong. Like, for whatever reason, they decided not to distribute it. There's got to be some answer. Like, maybe there was a surplus. Maybe they still had. Can this have something to do with all of the baggies out there?
I don't think so. I think those came later.
I don't know, Bill. This goes deeper.
Aren't the shipping cases?
This goes deep.
I think those baggy figures were supposed to be on 45 backs, but they pulled them for some reason.
Yeah, okay, so this is another little factoid. Did I just say factoid? That's not a word. I mean, it's a word, but it doesn't mean what you think it does. It's a little fact that's interesting that the removable limbs C-3PO is the easiest thing to find in the vintage hobby in terms of a baggy example of it.
Right, right.
And there's like thousands and thousands, although of course one was sold recently for like $800, which was just ridiculous. But those are really common. And so I wonder, could there be some kind of correlation between the, because obviously it wasn't sold in America. I mean, we can just say that definitively, right?
If you'd like. I mean, there's no evidence it was ever sold in America.
Right. I mean, if nothing has popped up by now, I mean, if one pops up, it will be like, oh my God, I can't believe this exists. You know, like, it was sold in America in such infinitesimal quantities that it's statistically irrelevant.
You need to be careful because you're trampling on my dreams for the Anakin Alpha 3PO.
Well, I know, but this is the kind of certainty you have to have until it's proven wrong, right? I mean, I would have said, I would have said this about the 45. Maybe you need to look in a different country, Bill. You need to look in your searches for Taiwan or anyway. So, like, maybe there's some correlation. Like, Kenner didn't like the cardback art because it featured a way better character instead of C-3PO. You know, it's confusing.
Oh, Sky.
Well, it looks like a Chewbacca cardback, right? It doesn't look like it's for C-3PO. So maybe they were working on alternate art or all we can do is guess.
Yeah. Well, one thing, exactly, Bill, yeah. I think if I have this right, so this 45 back 3PO, the backpack that comes with him, it's not in a little plastic bag of its own, right? It's just in there in the bubble with him?
That's correct, yeah.
And that's not how they were produced, right? So in all the other releases, just the regular Kenner releases, they put that backpack in its own little plastic bag, right?
Not all of them. I was looking through my collection and I found a couple. I think a 47 back that did have it, a 47 back that didn't have it.
Okay.
So it was probably a variation between factories.
Okay. Yeah. But having it just in there on its own is not as usual.
Right, right.
Okay.
Almost all the time it has a plastic baggie. The other thing that is unusual is there's a thin piece of clear plastic behind the figure on the 45 back that isn't present on any of the other ones I have.
Wow.
And I know they did that for like Vader's and Ben's, that they didn't want the cape sticking to the cardback.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it could have been like a cost. Hey, we don't want to spend all this money for these clear pieces of cellophane. Maybe we should just redo them or whatever.
It still doesn't make sense why they didn't exist. So then you have this one that comes from Hong Kong, which is the factory where the figure was made, and it has the X. So I think the X most logically is like almost like how at the Kenner store in Cincinnati, they would cut the figures off the cards. Almost like if you've ever worked retail and you have to get rid of magazines, you know, when they're no longer good, you just tear off the covers, you know. That's why when I worked at Blockbuster, I had a complete collection of Entertainment and Rolling Stone magazine with no covers. But, you know, like, I think that's sort of makes sense as a way that, you know, it's not going to be resold because people wouldn't buy something with a big X over the figure, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so there's a pretty good working theory that it was factory overstock that was determined not to be sold in America and was therefore given to anybody at the factory who wanted it, but they had to have it on an X. I think the next stage, Bill, is you have to go to Hong Kong and you have to look around and try to find cardbacks and see if there's a lot of kids who played with it. Like, are there a lot of just removable limb C-3POs that kids played with in Hong Kong? Like, were there five of these that were given out, or were there 1,000 of these, you know?
You'd think that if there were more than one or two that they'd have popped up before now.
Yeah. It's bizarre. And to make
eBay's been around, what, 20 years now or something? And it's been in Hong Kong nearly that long. You'd think that somebody would have posted one up there.
Yeah.
Right.
That is just so weird.
And you've been looking. Now, another weird thing is my... So on the Chewseum, and I may or may not cut out this long rambling thing I had about my website earlier. Only time can tell. I probably will. I have this proof card that was part of a sheet. So Don Henderson was had a sheet of like eight connected Empire Strikes Back 45 back proof cards, and he cut up the sheet to sell the figures individually. And I just wanted anyone that wasn't spoken for, just because I wanted to keep it as intact as possible. So I got a Bespin security guard, black Bespin security guard, on his debut card back. Now this is cool because it's actually one of two known black Bespin security guard proof cards, and the other one is locked up in a collection that will never be released. So there's at least one black Bespin guard collector who's really hoping that I eventually cut this thing up. but on the figure, there's just a big X in the little space where the figure would be. And this was probably done in Hong Kong as well, I guess, or I don't know what, but why is it like, I don't think of a lot of X's in that I can think of in the history of vintage collecting, black X's over stuff. Except this and the C-3PO, and they're both on these 45 backs.
My 47 back 3PO proof has like a signature in the area, the color area where the figure would be. Huh. But it's like a blob kind of thing. It's just a big black Sharpie marker that somebody did blah, blah, blah on it. So I don't know if that could have been a non-approval mark of some sort. But mine wasn't part of a sheet. It's just a regular proof.
Right. Cut proof, yeah.
Wow.
So is your proof card a three-color proof, or your cut uncut one a three-color or a four-color?
No, it's four-color. It's four-color. And the nice thing was he screwed up when he was cutting it off. So I've got three color bars on two proofs. So it's this really nice-looking piece. I've considered, you know, trading it, you know, cutting it and trading it. And I made what I thought was a really fair offer to a person, but they didn't want to do it. So it's actually probably better because I really love it the way that it is.
Yeah, it does look pretty awesome as it is.
Yeah. Wow. So you now officially have one. Let's see, Bill. So remember that message you sent me earlier? I'm going to cut this out of the show. Remember the message you sent me earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you cool with me talking about that on the show? And if no, are you cool with me waiting and then, you know, recording it now and then just releasing it later?
Yeah, don't release it till after the auction ends. So that's next Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, shouldn't
be. Unless it gets outed on Facebook, then feel free.
Okay. All right, so here we have, Steve, the tale. Do you think we've told the tale sufficiently of the removable limb C-3PO 45 back?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Steve, it is absolutely an amazing story. 20 years in the making. There was no hope, and then all of a sudden there was this new hope that appeared. And that was it. One of a kind, forever and ever and ever. Bill Cable owns it, and never, ever again will we ever see another one up for sale. Is that right, Bill?
Absolutely.
Except you sent me a text earlier today. And what did that text say, Bill?
Yeah. the text said that another one has popped up on eBay from Hong Kong.
What?
What?
So I had to, what? I promised Bill I will not release this podcast until either that auction has been outed or until that auction is over. So I won't. So it's just between you, me, and Bill. Don't worry, Bill. We're not going to out it. We're going to hold on to this information. So there's another one for sale right now on eBay. So just because it's exciting. Okay. What do you say? We look it up right now. Let's see. Let's see where is that. Now, are you trying to get this one too, Bill?
I made a kind of low ball buyout offer, hoping the guy doesn't know what it is, but we'll see.
So it's a different source, but just also Hong Kong.
Totally different seller.
Wow.
But also from Hong Kong.
What now, the?
Does it have an X on it?
It does not have an X on it.
Oh.
So that blows all our theories.
It's got a yellow bubble. It's,
yes.
Okay, now it is extremely unpunched. So I think this fits with the theory that it came from a factory. It is currently forbid, Steve, at $76.99.
All right.
And Steve, do you vow not to spread this information to anyone?
I vow. Okay. Solemnly swear.
And do you vow not to bid on it either?
Yes, I vow.
Good. Although, you know, it does have Chewy on it. I don't know. I have been thinking about
Sky.
It.
Sky.
So how would some... Because this is really cool, recording this while the auction's still going.
It's
spicy and dangerous. So there's 12 watchers. I assume you're one of them. So when do you think...
Yeah.
How do you think that people already know about this?
I was astonished that the first one didn't get outed. I would bet anything on this world that this one is going to be well watched by a number of people who know what it is.
Now, do you regret outing, finding one so much? I mean, right? Because you just made this the hottest, most interesting collectible in the hobby right now. And then this other one just pops right up.
I have kind of a theory about that. The seller that I bought mine from said he just found it at a local vintage toy shop. So, and he said that they had other figures there, but he wasn't sure if they had another C-3PO like the one I had. He didn't really seem all that knowledgeable about the offers or anything like that. He just picked it up and threw it up on eBay. So my guess is that this is from the same vintage toy shop that another reseller either found it based off my stuff or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. It's a feature is it's an unassembled kit and set. That's what it says in the auctions. Ooh, I better take a picture of that. I better take a little screenshot right there. Ooh, that's exciting.
Wow. That is just crazy. That's just crazy.
And this just came up on your normal everyday C-3PO search?
Yes, it did.
So what's your max bid on this, Bill?
It is not $6,687.71.
But you know you could sell it for $10,000. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, but I think somebody who would pay $10,000 is probably going to bid on it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this seller
probably is, more than one.
This seller is in for quite a surprise. Wow. Steve, we have a secret.
Yeah, this has got to be a first in terms of crazy situations while recording this show. There have been many, but this is definitely a first.
Well, it's great because it gives me an excuse not to edit the podcast.
Yeah, see, it's great. You forcibly postpone the Sky's editing process, so it's good. It's all good.
Oh, and you know what I'll do? I'll give myself a little space right here where I can insert the result of the auction. Actually, wait. I'm not going to do that now. We're going to do a market watch. A Minority Report market watch. Okay. So we're all going to guess what this ends for, all right? And whoever's closer, we'll just, whatever, we never have prizes. Screw it. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We are going to do a Minority Report market watch where we're going to guess, and then I'm going to insert what the winner is. So write down what you think this auction is going to end at, and then we'll see. Okay. Have you guys written down what you think it's going to be?
I've got mine, yeah.
Have you written down, Bill, what you think it's going to end at?
I'm just imagining it in my head, if that's sufficient.
Okay, then you can go first.
Okay, I'm saying $9,800.
Okay, Steve, what'd you say?
I had 88.88.
All right, and I said $1,389.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm going low.
You're the optimist here. You're the
I'm the optimist. And of course,
if that's the I hope Sky's the winner because I would win at that price.
Then in that case, I am going to put the actual price. I'm going to let you know the actual price at a later date. I'm going to insert the result of the auction right now. Oh, snap. It's $2,661.56. That means that for 2 months in a row, Sky wins the Market Watch. I'm excited. I wish I came up with a prize because I'd win it. Okay, so $2,600, that's 10 times as much as the last one went, but probably one-fifth what it's worth. It's the Market Watch, 45 back, Threepio style. Oh, good job to the winner. All right. So, you know, we started off, Bill, by saying this might be the white whale, but it's not, because there's more than one white whale, and you've already got it. Obviously, the big white whale for you is a C-3PO with removable limbs. We've already talked about it on this show several times. I don't know why it hasn't showed up. I remember. Do you remember what I told you, Bill, back in 2005?
Refresh my memory.
Yes, of course you don't. You were drinking Steel City beer, and yes.
Iron City beer.
Iron City. Yeah, same thing.
I don't know if I trust either of you guys' memory right now.
I said, and this is my call to all of you space freaks out there. I said, if I ever find it, I'm going to buy it and just give it to you. Like, just there you go. And so I want space freaks who are listening to this, if they ever see it, just give it to them. Don't ask him for a dollar. Don't ask him for $1,000. Just give it to him. Because the dude has been looking on eBay every single day for 20 years for this stupid thing. And it's not that he deserves it, but it just makes it a much better story if it's just a gift. And you would be remembered in the annals of all history. So that's my call. Do you stand behind that, Steve?
I'll stand behind that. Yeah, I did the same.
Yeah. Awesome, Bill. Well, so far, I think I can cut this down to under an hour, which might be acceptable to you.
Hey, I was the only guest, so I could probably listen to this whole thing.
Yes. You'll have to skip past all the parts where I'm just blabbing on. So check out, which is most of it. So check out thechuseum.com for my write-up on the display arena display, just because I spent a lot of work on it and it looks nice. Check out Bill Cable's creaturecantina.com for more write-ups on this removable limb thing, and you know, just think Steve's a cool guy.
yeah, that, do, that
like,
works.
Movie promo site or something. And
yeah, but that's not and doesn't have the long-standing status of Chuseum and Creature Kings.
I'm trying to pick things that are germane to our particular topic.
Yeah, yeah. This, I got nothing.
Plug section. This is a how do we talk more about this one. My dad asked me what we were talking about. And I was like, we're talking about a specific toy. And I mean a toy. I don't mean like a toy in general. I mean like a specific toy.
A very specific toy, yeah.
This is great. And I think, to me, this is a story of inspiration for all of you, that you can still be as in love with your focus 20 years after you first carried her across the threshold, and just that, you know, these things do happen. It really is a question of patience. And I now, for the first time, Bill, since I've known you, I think you have hope for the Anakin offer.
I've always had hope, but it's just never been reciprocated by results.
Yes. Awesome. Well, the Bruins lost. Hooray for Victor Hedman.
sorry, Sky.
Yeah. It's okay. Sports is insignificant compared to Star Wars collecting. So cool. we don't have... So usually, Bill, we have like these crazy like goodbyes and stuff that we do on the show. But because this is a blog pod, we don't.
Okay. Can you...
Roll around like I run a shit. Got a system filled up with toxins. I've been broken hearted and I was f***ed up. Getting how to deal with my problems. Getting drunk, but these getting obnoxious. Ain't nothing to me though, I love the shit.